Why do the heathen rage, and the peoples imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his mounted throne. Let us break their bones asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I kept my sin and my holy hill of thine. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Praise the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Seek the sun lest he be angry and his wrath. Ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. This psalm speaks about optimism at its best. But I didn't realize it at the time when I had to memorize this among other psalms and hymns during a memory work program way back in parochial school. So I grew up in a little town of 811 population in eastern Kansas, and our only real touch distance on the world was in an occasional peek into the vestibule of the Golden State Limited, if it ever stopped in our hometown with a long-distance traveler. Or when finally the local undertaker gave us a radio which he could not sell during the Depression, and we had a new access to the world of that day. So I couldn't understand what this psalm was speaking about in terms of heathen raging, or the kings of the earth setting themselves and the rulers taking counsel together. It was memory work. But the longer I live, the more this particular psalm which speaks of the victorious Redeemer is becoming for me a picture and fulfilled prophecy and guarantee of optimism at its best. Picture, if you will, a warm summer afternoon, the shadows lengthening, and a butterfly sitting back and forth over the floor of clay on a casket being lowered into the ground. That is the optimism of innocence, the butterfly not realizing the brevity of its own short stay here in time. But we are living in a different kind of age. Someone has said that if we take all of human recorded history and compress it into a time gap of 50 years, then the resurrection of Christ took place only 2 years ago. 5 months ago, the printing press was invented. 10 days ago, electricity was discovered. Yesterday, the Wright brothers made their first flight, and on a 50-year time scale, everything from indoor plumbing to Saturn I and landing on the moon and all the computerized knowledge of our age is happening in the last 24 hours. And we are told that the knowledge explosion is doubling once every 10 years. And it looks like we have the optimism of a new reality and a brilliant future ahead, except for some very grim shadows which come across our globe. Because of the convention and other heavy activities this past summer, I got behind on some of my periodical reading. And this fall, as I looked through some of the table of contents, I was a bit startled by the feature article. One was titled, the possible cost of 1980 and how to make the most of it. Another one, dealing with the budget, how Congress causes inflation. Another one, the rage against the future. Reflections on the national consensus of anger. The gas price picture. The problems of living to be old. The struggle for global markets. The strange turn toward horror. And then we have all around us the problems of world hunger, Cambodia, Indochina, the refugees, the homeless, the oppressed, and now raging, thousands of students, and hold at bay a few hostages and keep the world on the brink of military action. That is not optimism at its best. Certainly we are living in a time when the heathen do rage, and even those who claim there is one supreme being, one God, do not listen to his word or respect and receive his son. And yet there is a divine optimism, saying the dawn is brightening. We are told in our son that God, to take his little test too, his only begotten son, and he's going to take this king and place him in a most unlikely place called Zion. And he is going to declare the ultimate decree. And history, all of it, no matter what time shall we use, is in the hands of this God. And the psalmist and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit then hears the decree. David's gracious son, whom he called Lord, heard the word, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And look at the great missionary promise. And said God, the dawn is brightening. Ask of me, and I shall give thee these raging heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. This son, he is rejected by his own people, and he shouted, crucify him, crucify him. This son has come not to bring peace, but a sword. This son, the same sons against fathers, mothers against daughters, but took the solitary into family, the new family of sons. So God tells us in his word, he tells the rulers of the nations and all their citizens, be wise, now therefore you kings, and be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. And there is a proper kind of faith for this kind of fear. I imagine it's the kind of fear that still lingers in the hearts of relief. Refugees, or the heart of surviving passengers of a plane that has gone down. What a fear it is to realize the fate, the well deserved fate of eternal damnation from which this king has rescued us with his suffering and death and resurrection. And so we rejoice with trembling. The kind of trembling that rescued people experience with tears of joy to embrace their relatives and they are happily reunited again. And so here is the whole message of the Christian church, the message for which you, his ambassadors, are preparing for ministry. We go out to the world with the law and the gospel of God's total revelation, his whole scripture, word for word, and say, the son. Be ye reconciled to him. We are now at one with him. The middle wall of partition is broken down. Kiss the son. Lest, as in the parable of the wedding feast, he be angry and be quiet in the wedding. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. What a blessed assurance. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That is optimism at its best. And this will cheer you on and encourage you and support you in your preparation for your ministry in his service. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.